Hare Krishna. On Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, you have this verse written, which is like, I think there are two verses, but this is one of them. So this is a verse glorifying Rupa Goswami. I don't know for sure if this is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's verse to glorify Rupa Goswami. Quite possible, because he doesn't. Usually, he says who composed this verse, but here he doesn't. So it could be his own composition. His Kaviraj. His a great poet. So we can read word for word, and then we will chant this verse. Priya Swarupe. Unto the person whose dear friend was Srila Rupa, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. Unto the person whose dear friend was Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. This is called Bahuvrihi Samas in Sanskrit. Daita Swarupe. Who was very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prema Swarupe. Unto the replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal ecstatic love. Unto the replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal ecstatic love. So replica, you know, that's embodiment, copy. Sahaja Abhirupe. Who was naturally very beautiful. Nija Anurupe. Who exactly followed the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ekarupe. To the one. Tatana. Explained. Rupe. Unto Rupa Goswami. Svavilasa Rupe. Who describes the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So Sva. Sva oftentimes means svoi, but also can mean his, like Sua Divina Gratia. Sua Divina. His. His. So let us chant. Priya Swarupe Daita Swarupe. Prema Swarupe Sahaja Virupe. Nijanurupe Prabhureka Rupe. Tatanurupe Svavilasa Rupe. Actually, I was wrong. It is described here. Where is it taken from? It's from Chaitanya Chandrudaya by Sri Kavi Karnapura. Chaitanya Chandrudaya, very famous drama about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's Kavi Karnapura's verse. Okay, so translation. Indeed, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Swarupa Damodar, was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was very, very dear to the Lord. Being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. He very carefully followed the principles enunciated by the Lord, and he was a competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his mercy to Srila Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literatures. And the next verse. Eimada Karnapura Likestane Stane Prabhu Kripa Koila Jai Che Rupa Sanatane. The characteristics of Srila Rupa Goswami have thus been described in various places by the poet Kavikarnapura. An account has also been given of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his causeless mercy upon Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were the objects of love and honor for all the great stalwart devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the first quote from Kavikarnapura: Kalena Vrindavana Keli Varta Lupteditam Kyapayitum Vishishya Kripamritena Vishishecha Devas Tatraiva Rupam Chasanatanam Cham. In the course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. May Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto me. By his grace, a complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. So that's the first verse from, I think, Antya, Lila. So every first verse is a very beautiful invocation of blessings by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Shivat Prabhu, did you see Narasimha Seva Prabhu's mafioso glasses? You should get the same for yourself. Then you too can sit on two sides in dark shades, look very serious. It's interesting that this chapter also begins with, as always, with this calling for blessings. And this verse calling for blessings is Rupa Goswami's rendition, version of glorification that we just read of Rupa Goswami. So it's very similar. Vrindavaniyam rasakelivartam Kalena luptam nijashaktim ukta. Sancharya rupe vyatanot punasa prabhur vidhau prag ivalokas rishtim. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, ivalokas rishtim, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency in Sancharya. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Who has completed reading at least one time the full Chaitanya Charitamrita? You?
You didn't? Mahaprabhu.
Chaitanya Charitamrita. So why don't you? I got scared. No, how could? Yes, yes. It's a very special mercy, this golden book, golden book of nectar, which allows us insight into the most esoteric, most nectarian exchanges between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan. So the deepest secrets of Vrindavan pastimes are revealed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Also, Krishna conscious philosophy is explained here in the most poetic way. So all the philosophy is explained in beautiful poetry with jewel-like analogies and jewel-like verses. It's quite an amazing book. So you might have heard how how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave some classes in Bangladesh. I mean, now it's Bangladesh. It used to be, I mean, it was all, it's Bengal, Dhaka. And he, and there was some flood, some earthquake, and then flood. So obviously when there is flood, and even today in Mayapur, sometimes you have flood. So it can be quite devastating. Like a few years ago, Srila Prabhupada's granddaughter drowned in that flood because they were walking on the road. And I don't know if she didn't know how to swim or, but Ganga also is very fast, very strong. And so either she moved from the road to the side or the boat knocked her or something. At any rate, she drowned. It was like just a few years ago. The daughter, granddaughter or great-granddaughter of Srila, I think granddaughter of Srila Prabhupada. She was married to some devotee in ISKCON, living in ISKCON Mayapur. So this flood, it's a big thing. It's quite scary, such floods. Bengal in general, you may see, is filled with water. There is a lot of water. In fact, there is one very unique natural phenomenon in the south of Bengal called Sundarban. Sundar means beautiful, and one is forest, Sundarban. But actually, it's the how is it called? M starts with M. This is the mangrove. So this is the area which is between the delta of Ganga and the Bay of Bengal. So it's many jungle islands which are sometimes submersed in water and sometimes above. So it's a very unique, isolated nature reserve. So you have tigers there, you have everything, you have some unique animals that survive. It's very special. I think when the BBC made their movie about Ganga, they dedicated a big chapter to that part, Sundarban. So there's a lot of water there. This is also one of the reasons in the previous times it was the best place for a living, where you have a steady supply of good water. Fresh water, good water, especially of course Ganga is practically very clean. It has some unique properties. When the king of Jaipur went to England for visiting the English royalty, you can see in Jaipur they have huge pots, at least 1 ton each pot of silver standing there. And these were the pots in which he carried Ganga water with himself on a ship, to always have Ganga water and not to drink this suspicious, dubious water in England. You don't know what kind of water they will have. So he has his own Ganga water. And this is one of the very rare types of water that that doesn't go bad. They say it's because it has a lot of silver in it, or they made experiments. They actually measured recently devotees when they were dealing with the arsenic poisoning. Arsenic, you know arsenic? You say it like this, yeah? So, so they were experimenting. They were experimenting because half a century ago, many people there got sick because of drinking water from shallow wells. You know, they not deep enough. So therefore, some dirty water would get into the drinking water supply. And therefore, dysentery, cholera, whatever, all these nasty diseases were infecting people. So then there was a push for deep wells. So they started making very deep wells to get water from much deeper that is not touched by that dirty water. So that was okay, but then they noticed that people get sick in some very weird way, some weird sicknesses. Not these diseases that kill you quickly, but still diseases that deform people. So then they studied and turned out that these deeper horizons have a lot of arsenic. So people would get slow arsenic poisoning. That's a common rat poison, arsenic. So maybe they don't die immediately, but they die slowly. So therefore they were searching how to find a good supply that is both clean and but also doesn't have arsenic. So then they experimented with the Ganga water, and they discovered that when they take Ganga water, then it has, for example, 100 units of bacteria. And they let it stand for 5 days, and any normal water would have 500, five times more bacteria, but germs. But the Ganga water would have five times less, 20. So in other words, it's self-purifying. As it stands, it becomes cleaner and cleaner, which is usually the opposite with every other water. So Ganga is traditionally a very attractive. So even this BBC documentary glorifies Ganga as the life-giving, glorious river nourishing the whole Indian subcontinent. So in Dhaka there was a flood, and Bhaktisiddhanta Ji said that if you are drowning, if there is a flood, grab three books. Which three books? Gita, Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if you cannot carry three books, grab two books. Which? Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if you are still drowning, then at least hold one book. Which? Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can see at the end of each volume, we have statistics. How many verses are from which book in Chaitanya Charitamrita quoted. So there is total 11,000 verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and 6,000 pages. So there are quotes, 50 quotes from the Bhagavad Gita. There is also hundreds of quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here it is, okay. verses. So almost 400 verses are from Srimad Bhagavatam. So 400 from the Bhagavatam, almost 100 from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's the second most quoted verse here. 50 from the Gita, that's the third most quoted. 34 verses from Vidagdha Madhava and 21 from Lalita Madhava. Interesting. So very Rasika. Then 20 verses from Brahma Samhita, 20 verses from Padma Purana, and 19 from Vishnu Purana, and 19 Govinda Lilamrita, 16 from Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka, like these three here. And we have three verses here from Chaitanya Chandradaya Nataka. So everything is here. Everything is, plus there are some others, but less. Fewer verses. So everything is here. Everything is very beautifully collected. And to us, it sometimes seems like we have a lot of books, that everything is there. However, you can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not consider that we have enough books. And when every acharya is writing, they will say that there is much more to be said. But out of fear of increasing the volume, I will limit myself to saying only this. And it's almost like everybody, every acharya speaks like this. You can see there is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then it's a big book, 18,000 verses. And then you can see that Sridhar Swami will give commentary on every verse. And his commentary is so good that all the previous commentaries, people just stopped copying. So that's why some people think that he's the first commentator, even though he himself quotes the previous commentators, like Chitsukananda. But then following acharyas, for example, Jiva Goswami will quote Sridhar Swami and add something else. And then the following, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will quote Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami, in the 10th canto, it can also be Sanatana Goswami, plus he will add a lot of his commentaries. So his commentary is bigger. But he also will say that we can say much more, but not to increase the volume of the book, we will limit, we will stop here. Then we have one Vamshidhara Goswami. He was quoting all of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others, and he was trying to also combine all the other commentaries. Vamshidhara Goswami. And then we have Srila Prabhupada, which takes something from them and adds his modern commentary. But then Prabhupada says that you all should also write. Sometimes he said, write every day. So that you can do either in articles or in books or in essays. So if you may remember some years ago, Smita Krishna Maharaj here was saying that when he joined, then they had 2 hours of systematic study every day, and every weekend everybody was supposed to write an essay. You remember? He spoke like this. Maybe, I don't know, some years ago, if you remember, he was describing. So in other words, as Bhaktisiddhanta ji said, this Varta, maybe you have noticed, it says news of Krishna Lila from Vrindavan. Varta, so news. So it looks sometimes strange because it happened 5,000 years ago. How can it be news? You know, news is something that's happening today. Okay, maybe yesterday. Okay, maybe somewhere this year. But 5,000 years ago, how is it news? But so Varta. Varta means what's happening, what's up. So when Bhaktisiddhanta ji was printing his newspaper, he said, in the spiritual world, there are so many things we can publish a newspaper filled with news, not just for every day, but for every second. There is enough news. That's also the depth of the spiritual existence, that every second has so much there that you can write publish a magazine. Can you imagine? Every second you publish a magazine. What's happening? And it was lost. And then this is, you can see, the mission of Rupa Goswami. This is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. He gives them slightly different tasks. But one thing is common is to restore, to find the actual places in Vrindavan to reestablish Krishna worship. But also to bring back the news of Krishna Lila, to uncover Krishna news. You see, also Krishna tells Arjuna 5,000 years ago. So sometimes we think that, 50 years ago life was perfect. And 500 years ago, definitely must have been so nice. And 5,000 years ago, it was completely like spiritual world. Sometimes we have this strange illusion. But Krishna tells Arjuna that Krishna was there, Vyasadeva was there, Krishna, Arjuna was there. Sages were there. Narada Rishi would fly every few days, fly by. He would fly by and say, "Hey guys, did you hear? Yudhishthira is doing his Rajasuya Yagya." And Krishna says, "Arjuna, sa kalaneha mahata yoga nashta." In the course of time, the science of yoga has been lost. So now I'm telling you a science to recover yoga. So the munis on this street, you would have a few munis who would levitate and fly and do manifest the apples, pomegranates from Kabul. But now it's a scary place, Kabul. Do we have pomegranates growing somewhere in Balkans? Where? Everywhere. Okay. But you don't have them in your... You do? Really? Red and inside... Red, yes. You have? Ah, okay. Misha also has. Okay. You see, you do have one muni here who manifests them from dirt. He converts dirt into pomegranates. So... Therefore, Krishna sees the necessity to restore the science of Bhakti Yoga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years ago, he sees the necessity to restore the science of Bhakti Yoga, to restore the science of Kevala Bhakti, to restore the science of Vrindavan Lila. And then Prabhupada says, there is such a great need. He says, please, all of you, boys, girls, men, women, 1973, London Vyasa Puja. Please, all of you, become gurus, because we need so much work to do. We need millions of gurus, he says. We need millions of gurus all over the world to help spread Krishna consciousness and help people learn about it and become happy by Krishna consciousness, Bhakti Yoga, and Krishna, the news of Krishna Lila. And he's encouraging everybody, please expand more and more. And maybe you have this experience. Who has this experience that you have to, maybe not write, but maybe you are preaching to somebody, distributing books on the street, or giving a class, giving a lecture, or just talking with your friends, and then they ask you a question to which you didn't know the answer. And then... You didn't know. And then all of a sudden, from the heart, Krishna tells you, it's like this. And then you know. Who has this experience? That you didn't know, and then you all of a sudden you know. Yeah? Or you reread the Bhagavad Gita for the 57th time, and then you discover, my God, look at this. Oh, this is so interesting. I didn't see this before. Yeah? Who has this similar experience? So you can see that it's spiritual. It's a spiritual science. There is no limit. There's no end. It's infinite. It's infinitely in so many directions, and that's therefore the task that Prabhupada gives. Prabhupada doesn't want to keep monopoly. That's one of the deviations, apasampradayas, called Jati Gosai. Only we have the monopoly on initiation and on teaching and on whatever. That's Jati Gosai. Because my father is the grandson of Nityananda, which is they claim. Which, for example, Atmatata Prabhu says, there is no surviving line. There is no bloodline. There is no bloodline, he says. It's documented that in terms of bloodline does not exist. There is a bloodline from Advaita Acharya. There is a bloodline, and you can see his descendants in Vrindavan. But it took me maybe 5 years before I figured out that the pharmacist I'm buying my medicines from is the great-great-grandson of Advaita Acharya. He didn't put it on his shield. He didn't tell you in the first conversation, "Do you know, by the way, I am from Advaita Vamsa." It took me like 5 years because I don't know how did I figure. I mean, some accidentally it came out. Maybe we went to his temple and then we saw Advaita Acharya on the altar. And there is a line that Advaita Acharya's son is Krishna Mishra, and then 14 generations to him, each listed. And then he says, "Yes, we are from Advaita Acharya." So he's not proud. He doesn't claim monopoly. He's very friendly. He's a really beautiful Vaishnava, very humble, very helpful. Like, for example, I complained that some Ayurvedic medicines have undesirable effect on me. So one Ayurvedic doctor told me that because every commercial medicine is sold in this unprocessed form and it increases pitta, increases heat. So you should not take, for example, Brahmi, which is supposed to make you sharper, but Brahmi Gana, the special extract from Brahmi, and nobody does it. So I went to this Sanjay Goswami, and I said, do you have Gana? He said, "No, nobody makes Gana." Then he said, "Okay, I will make Gana for you." And he made. And now he has Gana of everything. He has this extract, all those heat-producing medicines. He made Gana for everybody. So since many years, he has every medicine prepared. So I asked him, he made it. So he's very, very humble, very helpful, no pride. As opposed to some of the Jati Gosais, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, the people who claim monopoly. Only we, only our family, or only our dynasty has right to be the parampara, be the gurus, and so forth. So that's not the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says, please. So again, who is a Brahmana? Is Brahmana, not even speaking about a Vaishnava, Brahmana is one who makes others Brahmanas, right? Or as Prabhupada, so who is a teacher? A teacher who makes others into teachers. Doesn't want to keep them always down. Like Niranjan Swami, he tells his disciples, if you have a question, and you don't want to ask this question from my senior disciples, then it's completely useless to ask from me. It will be very stupid if you think that I can answer something that my senior disciples cannot answer. Because if I could not teach my senior disciples in 10, 20, 30 years to find the answer to a question, it means I'm useless as a teacher. Therefore, turning to me is also useless. You're stupid if you think that I can tell you something that my senior disciples cannot tell you. It means I'm useless. So first, you go to my senior disciples, then discuss it. And then if they don't know, then okay, we can see if you can find an answer. So this is, you can see the mood always in among the Vaishnavas. They want to make other Vaishnavas, they want to make other Brahmanas, they want to make other most exalted devotees. And every morning we are singing Ramachandra Sangama Maga Narottama Dasa. So Ramachandra is the disciple, he is his junior generation. He is the disciple of his godbrother. Is not his godbrother. He's not his. He's a junior generation. But he's, for hundreds of years we are singing his bhajan, where he says, "I want his association because I talk about Krishna with Ramachandra." Or as Subal from Japan, he writes to Prabhupada, "Oh Prabhupada, it's difficult, no devotee association." Prabhupada says, "Yeah, I know. This is really tough. I had this problem in America when I came. So you do what I did. You make devotees, and then you have devotee association." So this is the mood of Prabhupada, to share the good fortune, make others, as Prabhupada says, better than ourselves, be happy that others become better than ourselves. And there is no limit to depth and width and increasing the news, spreading the news of Krishna Lila, Vrindavan Lila, and about Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Gauranga. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai. Millions of exalted Krishna conscious pure devotee gurus ki jai. Okay. Any questions? Yes.
Cannot help but to ask. For example, at the level of a neophyte devotee, a beginner or not so experienced in Krishna consciousness, when you said that we should look forward to others being more exalted than us, help them to become like that, at that level, how does that manifest? I mean, like, how we prevent ourselves from, you know, like, actually desiring not opposite, but at least to be at the same level, because the tendency is like that of the ego. So what's some practical, I know that at that level your ego is dissolved.
So
in
other words, how to be free from envy or jealousy?
Yes.
Yes?
Okay. Yeah. Like.
Yeah.
We know the theory, but like we know the theory, like we should be like that, but like in practical sense, how do we do that? How do we prevent ourselves from thinking, desiring the opposite?
We need to become dirty-handed gardeners. When you go to the garden, what do people do in the garden this time? Huh? Dig, yes. And what do they do? What else do they do? Huh? Clevel, yeah. They weed out. Yeah, pluck the weeds. It's a hateful work for most of us, right? You bend down, the back is hurting, and hands are dirty, and you have to and weed it, right? But this is the work. Here, at least your back doesn't hurt, because it's in the heart. It's high, you know. It's and the dirt, people don't see. I mean, you don't have to clean your nails afterwards, because it's, again, in the heart. So we find, gotcha, envy. Yeah, it's like turning inside and accepting that, yes, this is what I have. So this is, I don't know, two-thirds of a success. It's a two-thirds of a success to admit to myself that I have this weed, to accept that this beautiful flower, this beautiful thing growing here, green, next to Bhakti Lata, that it's a weed. And then, ping, take it away, and saying, okay, Krishna, let me not be the most famous, that's no problem, I want you, not fame. So that, it's a little pain, but it's the pain that you can see every day. Millions of gardeners are taking upon themselves. They pluck out whatever what doesn't belong in the garden. So finding it is very, it's one of the, I mean, it's two-thirds of the success. Accept it. Yes, it's actually a weed. That means that inside we say that, yeah, I certainly envy his or her success, and certainly I think I deserve more. But that's okay. Let me not have it, because maybe he will do better, or maybe that's not my position. Like Ishwara Puri, he was happy for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the example Prabhupada gives, right? That Ishwara Puri was happy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing much more ecstasy than him. Yeah, like he says, father is much more happy for the success of the son, right? So we accept that, well, okay, whatever. I do my work, and whatever my place is okay. I do my best and do my work, and then if they become glorious, that's good. Plus, how to say? It's not. It doesn't. it's not unilinear. It's not just one line. We have so many. It's multidimensional. Multidimensional. There can be, like, for example, Gaurkishore Das Babaji hardly had, you know, one or two or three disciples. He hardly ever preached. He hardly he didn't write any books, right? But and his disciple Bhaktisiddhanta ji started the worldwide movement, for example, right? But it doesn't mean that Bhaktisiddhanta ji didn't show the until today. Every day he's on the altar of all our temples. So he didn't preach. He didn't make hardly any disciples. He didn't write any books. But respect is given to him, right? So in a proper culture, even though some person's achievements may not be so impressive, but because he did his part, as Prabhupada says, if I make one pure devotee, I consider my mission successful, in the introduction to the Gita, preface to the Gita. So we will not be at loss, even if we didn't achieve much and we helped somebody to achieve more. As there is, I remember one of my friends was saying that they were traveling and then in some in the mountains they spent night in old man's house, and then in the evening the man was praying, and he was completing his prayers by saying, "Oh Lord, please give wisdom to all the people, and if possible also to me." So then they asked him, "Why do you ask first for other people and then for yourself?" Because he says, "If God gives wisdom to me but not to other people, I may suffer. But if he gives wisdom to other people and not to me, I will be okay. They will take care of me." So it's more important that other people first are helped, and then they will not leave me suffer. So it was a... Yeah.
With some false ego picture about who we want, I mean, which is not in accordance with devotional attitude, maybe, but it kind of helps us to do something. But then this plucking
the weeds.
Of weeds, this means that in between there will be periods where we try to resist feeding ourselves with some illusion, which is maybe not present, but it's somehow effective. But then, without this illusion, I might fall in temporary depression or something. I mean,
yes,
because sometimes some illusion doesn't seem so harmful. It is there; it pulls you somewhere. But then I rob myself of this illusion, and then I'm depressed and useless.
Yes.
What is the solution for this?
Very good. Yeah,
in between periods to fit yourself with some.
Yes. Thank you.
Vision.
Yes. This is a very practical question from a. You wanna? How to avoid the paralysis by analysis. That this is Maya, therefore I can't, I shouldn't. This and this is Krishna, but I don't have yet a desire, so I'm stuck. This I can't, this I dare not. And this I do not desire. So, in between, nowhere, like a cloud torn by different winds dissipating in the sky, Arjuna says. Yeah, this is why even karma yoga is declared to be a secret. So finding the answer to this question means that you reach a steady platform. So if you find the answer to this question, you are already a very expert yogi. And it may take decades. Because Krishna doesn't say kill desires, or Krishna doesn't say kill your nature. Krishna doesn't tell you kill your nature. So he says offer it to me. So what does it mean? It means that if we find what is part of my nature, and we have the general 8 parameters, you know, 4 varnas, 4 ashramas, what is roughly my direction, right? It doesn't mean there is no austerity, but roughly, like roughly what's the type of work I can be inspired to do, activity. But do it without the ego of the enjoyer or controller. So this is the difficulty. This is the difficulty because it's a paradox. Because we, on one hand, we accept these nature desires and activities, right? On the other hand, we work on fulfilling them in a detached mood. Tena tyaktena bunjitha in Ishupanishad. So bunjitha, Krishna, Ishupanishad says, enjoy. But tyaktena, with detachment. Yeah, that's why it's difficult. It's a secret. You know, that's why we have to, it takes sometimes many decades before we figure out that yes, you can eat pizza, but not too much, or not too often, or without, attachment, all-devouring attachment. in other words, offer it to Krishna and... remember, this is Krishna's mercy, and remember, you know, that between a cup and lip there is many a slip. You know this proverb in English? Between the cup and lip there is many a slip. If you have a cup and it's already full and there is a lip, so it seems a sure thing. I can drink it. But you all know that I can pour instead of my mouth, I can pour on my chest, you know, or somebody knocks it out of my hand. Or even if it's in my mouth, who knows if it gets digested. So therefore, you know, the more we live, the more we become humble and saying, okay, Krishna, if you allow, I agree, maybe it doesn't get inside, but if possible, maybe I'll try. So the task is to combine tyaktena, and again, bhakti has naturally has this nature. So for karma yoga and every other yoga, it's a big challenge. It's a big equilibristic. It's a big gymnastic feat in for the consciousness or for the heart, for the motivations. It's a big, it's very difficult. But Bhakti Yoga makes it more streamlined, more natural, because loving service automatically means you do, you act, but not selfishly. Right? You're not passive, but you're not selfish. You're not passive, you're acting, but you're not selfish, you are detached, you're doing this for Krishna, not for yourself. So therefore you can... you know, agree him to control, that Krishna controls and enjoys. So that's the challenge, that's the work we need to do, to offer to connect everything with Krishna, offer everything to Krishna, and dovetail, as Prabhupada says, connect all our talents, desires, nature, everything with Krishna's service. And of course, with the help of other devotees, with the help of our senior friends and mentors and gurus, that we are able to offer to Krishna. Is it okay? Hare Krishna. Okay. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the cows of my words have been wandering everywhere. So only if you devotees catch them and milk some milk of practical nectar from them, my endeavor will be successful. So not, it's only by your offering the results to Krishna that it becomes successful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.